welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everyone is having an absolutely awesome day today. A lot of stuff going on, as always. And something that I saw here, and I wanted to bring this up to kind of start off on, I'm going to get Dad's take on it as well, because did you guys, if you remember, about probably 6, 7, 8 weeks ago, when the whole COVID-19 vaccine and topic came to light, I told you guys, I said, there's a high probability that this will not be a singular vaccine, that this first vaccine is going to be a shot of many, because once you open Pandora's box of unlimited funding to pharmaceutical companies, the greed glands will know no limits from these companies when they start raking in hundreds of billions of dollars in revenue from global vaccine production. And I said there's a high probability that they're going to keep coming up with different vaccines and more COVID vaccines on top of other vaccines now that they're going to start trying to mandate if they mandate the COVID-19. Now, we do not know still currently if they are going to mandate COVID-19. There's been speculation of it. There's been talks of it. But there is no ratified, significant proposal that's saying it is mandatory to take the shot. There's been a lot of calls for that. A lot of liberal papers and newspapers and write-ups that have talked about that. And it's highly probable that they will push into it. Well, another article that just came out yesterday from Bloomberg.com, and the title is this: the first COVID vaccine may not prevent COVID infection. And it goes on to say here, it says, vaccines may come with limitations on what they can deliver, according to Robert Shattuck of Imperial College London professor leading development on experimental shots. Michael Kinch, a drug development expert at Washington University in St. Louis, also said, my guess is that the day after someone gets immunized, they're going to think, I can go back to normal. There we go again. I can go back to normal. Everything will be fine. He goes on to say that's not necessarily going to be the truth, and people still may be susceptible to infection. The World Health Organization has now said that more than 130 different COVID manufacturer vaccines are in the pipelines right now for alleged COVID-19 prevention, and the U.S. Food and Drug Administration is now sitting down to make talks considering an option for vaccines that prevents COVID-19 illness. So what we have done now is we've taken the context of a vaccine, the actual idea of a vaccine causing your body to produce antibodies and prevent the body from being able to contract the COVID-19, which is supposedly the context, and then using RNA technology to rewrite your DNA in order to create your body, rewriting it so it will not basically be susceptible to COVID-19. So now we're saying that the first COVID vaccine isn't even going to prevent infection. It may just make the symptoms less aggressive. And now we have the FDA coming out and saying they're looking at options for vaccines that will actually prevent symptoms. This is what I warned everybody about. When you start giving literally hundreds of billions of dollars to pharmaceutical companies, they will find something to produce a vaccine for. They will find an illness to try to treat. Even if the illness is something that's minor at best, they will come up with a solution for it, or an alleged solution, I should say. Perfect example is the medications they've come out with over the last decade for restless leg syndrome. Most people don't realize restless leg syndrome, or the context of basically twitching legs or moving legs, in most cases, is a deficiency in magnesium. Magnesium is a crucial element as far as to muscle functioning, and they don't want to discuss that. And what they also do not discuss is that restless leg syndrome can also be a very common side effect of certain medications they've already put you on. But yet they come out with a medication to prevent restless leg syndrome, and then when you look at the side effects can basically be nausea, sleeplessness, basically diarrhea, other health complications, including stroke. And so then you have to ask yourself, did I really need the restless leg syndrome medication? And now we have to ask ourselves, even if you are pro-vaccine, do we really need a COVID-19 vaccine? As we already know, that the CDC came out and said basically the death rate of it is 0.26 when it's done on a full spectrum scale, and that most people that I have even personally talked to have recovered from the COVID-19, some of which have become very sick, but most of which that I've talked to have become recovered very quickly. In some cases, you have individuals that already had COPD, they already had chronic illnesses, they were already on numerous medications, and they contracted the virus, and they died. But you have to ask yourself also, would they have died very soon as of other complications in their life? Did COVID-19 just speed up the inevitable that was basically right around the corner? I don't know. That's just a question you have to ask yourself. But I really wanted to bring that up this morning because it's very troubling to me to see that they are pushing this vaccine so far, but yet they're throwing it in our face that the vaccine probably isn't even going to work. The first round's not even going to work. So they're going to say you need COVID-19 boosters, you need COVID-19 annual boosters. Heck, they're probably, more than likely, because our profile is going to be couple a COVID-19 influenza vaccine every fall in the future, in perpetuity in most cases, because they can generate so much revenue off this. But I wanted to kind of throw it back at Dad. What do you think they are going to do with this? Do you think this is what we're kind of, you know, talking about here? Do you think this is going to be a perpetual vaccine now in the future with COVID-19, Deb?
Awesome. This opens up an unbelievably broad topic area. Number one, let's talk about the mark of the beast. Let's talk about the mark of the beast. Basically, you change your DNA in order to become compatible with Luciferian DNA. Let's talk about how you need continual boosters to maintain that Luciferian DNA. Let's talk about how if you accept the mark of the beast, you know, you cannot be saved. Your frequency, your energy field changes so much that you're no longer compatible with God Almighty, and you cannot be saved. Is pretty much what it says. You become a full-blown Satan minion. And you think, wow, Ted, are you really talking about this morning? This is a really weird topic, guys. We have to talk about an RNA vaccine that rewrites your DNA. We have to talk about an RNA vaccine that basically comes in and changes you from a genetic standpoint so you can no longer be compatible with God's frequency or his energy field or the great I am. And you cannot be saved. This is the goal of these guys. I gotta tell you, this is not something that they're playing for blood here. It's like that movie Tombstone with Val Kilmer and, you know, and Kurt Russell, you know, playing for blood. And these guys are doing this right now. They're trying to damn the entire population of the planet with the mark of the beast in order you not be able to be reconciled with God Almighty. And you think, well, that sounds awful weird. I didn't sound weird. But these guys are trying to rewrite your DNA to make you incompatible with God so that you cannot be saved. And you think, well, they wouldn't really do that. Please don't believe that. They really will do that. They don't care about you. I mean, this is the thing. Look at the pornography. Look at the porn industry right now. Look at how invasive it is in just, you know, in so many people's lives. And that they look at porn. They get empowered by porn. They see women as objects, as sex objects, or they go homosexual because of this, or because of all the other things that's happening. This is all being done. And remember, Hollywood and this Kabbalist mafia that runs Hollywood, they're the ones that produce the porn to disable the hearts and the minds and the people in the United States because they absolutely loathe Jesus Christ. You know, they loathe him, and because they know that they're an anathema to him and that he has the power and the authority over him, and they're not willing to do that. They know that his name is Jesus. They know that he's the Lamb of God, that he's the Prince of Peace, that he's the Counselor, the Good Shepherd, the Savior, the Redeemer, the Deliverer, the Messiah, the Way, Lord God Almighty, Lord of all, resurrection and life, King of Kings, and he's the Son of God. They know that, and they hate him for it. And they're trying to do everything they possibly can to separate you from the great I Am and his Son and the Holy Spirit. And so they're going to inject into you whatever they have to create this mark of a beast, to put you in the situation where you cannot be saved. you got to understand, guys, and I know you do, and I'm being just real direct this morning. There's a war going on in the heavenlies. There's a war going on the interdimensional plane. There's a war that's happening right now in the unseen realms that you cannot see or fathom. And it's been going on for a long, long time, ever since Lucifer got the boot and got tossed out of heaven. And he absolutely hates God Almighty, the great I Am. He hates him. And he's doing everything he can to make everybody the same minion of hell that he is, including rewriting your DNA. The Bible warns you about it. It's called the mark of the beast, that you cannot buy or sell without it. And basically, you're going to be in a mess. And if you take this mark, you cannot be saved, because it changes your DNA in such a way that you're no longer compatible with God. And this is what they want to do. And they're going to use this COVID or whatever else they're going to use in order to facilitate this. I mean, you know, we now have all of these people out there that are, you know, wanting to get, you know, this injection, this COVID vaccine to boost immunity. And this New World Order is advancing rapidly. I mean, in May 2020, John Hopkins launched an online course to train an army of contact tracers, for which hundreds of people have joined within hours of its release. This is to narc you out. Those who take the course will be trained to interview people diagnosed with COVID-19 and identify their close contacts who might have been exposed and give them guidance on how to self-quarantine. If you test positive, the contact tracer will go through your telephone and your social media with you to figure out who you've come in contact with. And everyone whose path you crossed could also be quarantined. Well, it's been said that quarantine will be voluntary. Lie. Some related documents state that if you do not comply, police may enforce a detention order to assure compliance. True. It also states that in some states that you can be fined up to $2,000 a day or incarcerated for not staying in quarantine. In other words, we're going to force you to do this and to take this vaccine, or we're not going to allow you to even work. The course informs contact tracers that what they're doing is for the greater good, and basically that while everyone has a right to their privacy when it comes to the greater good, your privacy is now null and void. COVID-19 test results will automatically be sent into an electronic database and tracers to get your information if you test positive, whether you want them to or not. The resulting isolation and quarantines can be mandated and enforced, as others can and health enforcements be enforced, like vaccines and medications. So then they're going to come to your door and they're going to say, you've got to take the mark of the beast, the vaccine. You have to let us rewrite your DNA so God can't recognize you. We have to take the vaccine. You have to go ahead and make yourself so satanic by this injection that you can no longer be reconciled with God Almighty. You have to take the vaccine. And this is where this is going. I mean, and I watch this stuff, and I stop, and I look at it, and I go, geez, what the heck? Are we really in a situation where this is happening right now in our lifetimes? And the answer is yeah. Right now, Donald Trump is weighing another $1 trillion to push, you know, vaccines, to push 5G, to push $1 trillion for the infrastructure supposedly to spur the economy. And no, it's not. This will be going to a lot of these biochemical companies to produce more vaccines, etc. I mean, you know, Donald Trump is just another minion of this New World Order. I mean, his daughter is a Kabbalist. His son-in-law is a Kabbalist. They worship this snake in a tree called Ein Sof that basically wants to rule the planet. Because remember, in Sabbatain Zevi in 1666 said he was the Messiah, and he said we had to make the world super, super, super bad to allow this snake thing to come out and take over. The serpent of the tree that they call Ein Sof. So, we've got ourselves in a situation where, I mean, what do we do? Well, the only thing we can do is this. We've got to attach ourselves to Jesus Christ. We have to go in covenant with the blood covenant with Christ. We've got to accept him as our Lord and Savior. And we've got to try to walk and talk and try to bring honor and glory to him in all that we do, think, and say. We have to become Christians. And we have to stand against this new world order. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, Remember in the days of Noah, where every thought of every man was evil all the time. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be upon the return of the Son of Man. He's warning us in advance this is coming. This is a battle that's been going on in the heavenlies. You know, the Luciferian agenda had already gone full throttle, full scope in Genesis chapter 6, in which this group of people, these fallen angels, whatever they were, you can call them the Nephilim, you can call them whatever you want, you can call them the 72, I mean, whatever. They got the 72 fallen angels in the Capitol Rotunda, which deals with the Book of Enoch. And you got all of this crazy stuff that's happening around us right now, but Christians want to sit back and say, oh, that's not real. Okay? Well, these guys are playing for blood, and we want to believe they're not. They've already come in now, and they've got the whole planet addicted to porn. I mean, just everywhere's porn. You know, and now we have porn stars who have their own columns of major periodicals, who claim to be Christians, by the way. Some of them do. They just claim to be Christians, which is just a complete abomination of what the Word says. And the thing about it is that we're supposed to continue to believe these guys are telling us the truth when all they do is lie. Remember, he's a father of lies, Lucifer is. Ein Sof, whatever you want to call this stupid snake in a tree. I mean, whatever. I have no respect. These people nauseate me. Because they really believe they can overcome the great I Am, God Almighty Himself, through their weirdness, sickos, and perversion. And this stuff's being run through Israel, through the Kabbalah. Israel's the number one homosexual destination in the world. They have homosexual gay parades in Israel and Tel Aviv that 250,000 people show up for. You think, well, gosh, Ted, that sounds awful. Well, yeah, it does sound awful. So you got to ask yourself a question. This new world order is going to be based out of Israel. That's what they're planning. They're planning on putting us under Noahide laws and having us all, you know, worship the beast, this Antichrist that comes out of the temple, who is basically hates God, who's Luciferian. That's what they want. You think, well, gosh, Ted, that sounds really messed up. It is messed up. But this is the goal. So when they sit there and they tell you that you've got to basically, you know, put another $1 trillion of the economy for infrastructure to spur the economy to push 5G, it's because they want to have a global energy field around the planet that's so negative in nature that every thought of every man is going to be evil all of the time, just like it was in Genesis chapter 6. This is their goal, guys. And we have to understand the Book of Enoch was taken out in the 3rd century from the Old Testament. It was in the Old Testament. This group of people who brought Christianity into the Roman Empire and caused so much compromise in the Word of God by their actions of bringing in their demonic gods and all of the ancient pagan heathen customs into Christianity, they took the Book of Enoch out. Because the Book of Enoch warns you of what was happening and who these people were and what they were going to do, and these fallen ones. And so it's so important to understand that we have to maintain a relationship with Christ. We've got to pray every day. You know, we have to maintain a relationship with the great I Am. Because this power, this energy field, this beast that was wounded by the cross, because of all the stuff that these things that people have done, these Kabbalists and Luciferians and these worship and this crazy stuff to this beast, he's got his bunch of power back. And he's running around now as a roaring lion seeking those who he may devour. And so you got to ask yourself a question. You've got to look at who you're listening to. Are they talking about Christ crucified in the resurrection and walking in love and having the power of the Holy Spirit living through your life and understanding what it is to be a true Christian? Or are they talking about just the news, the mindless news that keeps everybody just kind of sedated for a bit? Are they talking about living a life dedicated to Christ? Now, I'm not saying that any of these people talk about any of this stuff are perfect as far as if they're telling you to live to Christ, because none of us are perfect. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. But what's the overlying, overreaching message? That we can do it on our own? You know, Donald Trump is so secular. He said to Billy Bush, you grab the women by their right? You saw that. I mean, you heard it. I mean, he used the P word. Grab them by their, you know, get them to do what you want. Is this who you're following? Is this who you think is going to be your savior? Donald Trump's just another heathen man. He's just a total heathen. Now, he may have found some relationship with Christ. I don't want to judge him to that point. I don't know what he is in his heart, but his outward actions are unbelievable. His filthy language, you know, all the stuff that he does, now pushing this 5G stuff. Remember, his son-in-law and his daughter are Kabbalists. Get a grip on that. And he's on the internet. They're both in the White House with him. This isn't okay. Yet Christians want to believe it's all okay. Now, Jared Kushner's about as evil as it gets, guys. And Ivanka's right behind him. She's denied the virgin birth. She's denied Jesus Christ. She's gone completely against the Word of God. And yet, these people are at his right hand. And we would think, oh, he's okay. He just doesn't know. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's being told what to do. And every once in a while, I think he'll throw something out there like he did last week that we talked about, as far as, you know, what's really going on when that priest came out and said that this was all this gigantic satanic thing that was going on. We talked about it in length, about what the priest said, about who is running the planet and everything else. You know, there are people, believe it or not, in the Roman Catholic Church, some of these priests that are really trying to be led by the Holy Spirit, who really love Jesus. They're not all weirdos. But guys, you got to ask yourself a question. Whose report are you going to believe? As for me and my household, we will believe the report of the Lord, and that's the Word of God. And we've got to stand firm on what we believe. We can't allow this new world order to come in and dictate what we're going to believe. This 5G stuff, it's an energy field they're going to create around the planet. It's going to be trying to control your very thoughts and your mind. It's going to reprogram you so that every thought of every man will be evil all of the time, as it was in Genesis chapter 6. Jesus said that was going to happen. So we've got to resist all this stuff. And, you know, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, you've just got to say no. I mean, we've got Israel right now. And I'm not trying to just focus on that today, because I talk about it so much anyhow, that wants to rule the planet through Noahide laws. This is their stated goals, which means if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, that's blasphemy, punishable by beheading. And they have the largest homosexual groups and these giant parades in downtown Tel Aviv, and abortion to full term is available. All of this stuff is being brought to us by these Kabbalists who are trying to invert the very fabric of space-time to create the most negative environment they possibly can on this planet. And we've got to understand that. This isn't okay. I mean, we had a massive shortage yesterday, a massive breakdown. You know, denial of service all over the country with cell phones. And you guys probably experienced that too yesterday afternoon about 3 o'clock. It was out for about 3 hours. I mean, I drove up to the backyard and Austin's out there just fussing. He can't get his cell phone to work. And I said, well, yeah, we've had a massive hack. Something happened. And now some of the people are coming out and saying this was direct involvement with Israeli secret intelligence, basically the Mossad, and that they're testing their systems. Years ago, and I'm going to talk to you guys real, this is personal. I got to be real careful with what I say here. I had lunch with Benjamin Netanyahu. I was on the seminar circuit, and I was invited to basically meet with him. This is before he was prime minister, back in the 90s, over 20 years ago, 25 years ago. And we had about 15 people invited to lunch with Benjamin Netanyahu. And, oh, God, the guy's so slimy. And, you know, I was sitting there, you know, having lunch with him. And he's talking about how all the computer systems go through Israel and how they have the routers all focused on Israel. They all go through Israel, and they control basically the electronics and the computers on the planet. This is Benjamin Netanyahu said at this meeting, at his lunch. And the reason he brought us there, and I guess, I don't know why we were invited, because we were all other speakers at the seminar he was speaking at. And I think we had 28,000 people there that day I was speaking to. He basically wanted us to invest in this technology going through Israel for all the servers to be routed through Israel. And the guy was just, I have to admit, he was really, really, really a good speaker, and he was very genuine, and he was very evil to the core. He was slick as, he was slick. And I thought to myself, something ain't right with this guy. And he's talking about how Israel controlled the world of processing and data streams. And it all went through Israel. And if you invest with him in this particular project that he was in, he wasn't prime minister at the time, that'd be very lucrative for you. Well, I had no interest in being involved in any of that stuff. And I thought to myself, how interesting that I was invited to this luncheon with Benjamin Netanyahu. So you guys have read about Benjamin Netanyahu. You've heard about Benjamin Netanyahu. I had lunch with Benjamin Netanyahu. And so when I talk to you about this stuff, I'm telling you from personal experience, the guy's slick and he's sick. And, you know, and he now, I told you he wasn't going to get kicked out of Israel. They weren't going to take him out because he's a Rothschild Jew boy. And, you know, and now they said yesterday that direct denial of service, that DDoS that happened yesterday when all of our cell phones went out for most of the afternoon, that it was basically a beta test out of Israel choking down the speed of the internet globally so when they get ready to, they can cut out the cell phones and cut out telecommunications. Now, whether that's true or not, I have no idea. But that's what I've been reading about now this morning, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, here we go again. They're starting to rear their ugly head. Number one homosexual destination in the world, Tel Aviv, Israel. Think about that. Get that through your wonderful saved brain that the number one homosexual destination in the world is Tel Aviv. But we're supposed to support Israel regardless of the consequences, regardless of what they believe. It's not true. I mean, Israel was written out of the prophetic message. I mean, the Rothschilds brought them back in the early 1800s. They brought them back in. And I guess, I don't know, maybe and what they're trying to do is change scripture. Again, that's what they try to do all the time. They brought them back in. The Rothschilds are satanic to the core. They're Sabbatean Kabbalists. They're Luciferians. They were brought in through Jacob Frank after Sabbatean Zevi. Sabbatean Zevi, who started this in 1666, he converted and became a Muslim. But the movement never stopped because it was satanically originated. And then after that, Jacob Frank picked it up. And then he's the one who brought the Rothschilds into this movement, this Sabbatean Kabbalist Luciferian movement, to make everything as evil as he possibly could on the planet in order to bring back the Antichrist to resurrect your serpent god. That's what's going on right now. We can all pretend like it's not happening, that Israel's not a key player, but they're the number one homosexual destination in the world. Full-term abortion is legal. Boy, I can't believe you're talking about Israel like that. No, guys, no. You know, here's the thing. We've got to ask ourselves a question here. You know, we've got to ask ourselves a question. What does it say in 2 Chronicles 19:2? Now, think about this for a second. 2 Chronicles 19:2. Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from the Lord. Whoa. Whoa. Are you saying now that if we've allied ourselves with Zionists in particular who hate the Son of God, and therefore suffer his father, and say, hey, hate his father, God Almighty, the great I am, that we're going to suffer God's wrath? That's what it says in 2 Chronicles 19:2. And so we have to understand what the heck is going on and where this is. So yes, it's a problem. We've got a group of people who want to put us under Noahide laws out of the Supreme Court in Israel, being ruled by secularism and trying to invert everything God created to try to bring back the rules of Sabbatai Zevi from 1666, when he said that everything has to be inverted, everything has to be made unbelievably evil to bring back, to, I guess, the snake in the tree. And this is the group that runs the planet. Now you can say, well, that's not. No, that's true. It's just the truth. And who else talks about this stuff besides us on our show? You know, it's ridiculous. I mean, Israel was written out of prophecy. They basically were disbanded by God. He'd had enough of it because they would not stop worshiping Baal and Moloch and Asherah. Read it. The Old Testament tells you he had enough of it.
They would not stop sacrificing their children. Oh, that's abortion, right? Oh, that could be abortion, yes. And they actually took their children and put them in this God's arms, and they cooked them. And God had enough of it. They wouldn't stop. Now, I'm not saying that every Jew is like that, because they're not. Some Jews don't follow the Kabbalah. Some Jews don't follow that stuff. Some Jews still follow the Torah. I met one on a cruise ship one time who was a rabbi, and I talked to him about this at length. He says, "We don't all believe that." He looked at me and says, "You're right. We got a bunch of sickos that are doing this stuff. They believe all this crazy stuff, but a lot of us still follow the Torah. We don't follow the Talmud." So I'm not talking about those Jews. I'm talking about the ones that are secularized, that think they can do whatever they want to do to whoever they want to do it to because they're God's chosen. And they have no moral. They don't believe. Let me explain something to you. They don't believe in a heaven or hell. They don't believe in that. These guys, these Kabbalists, they don't believe that. They don't believe that there's going to be a payment to pay after you die, either with rewards or with punishment. They don't believe that. Now, the true Jews, who basically follow the word of God, they understand that that's true, who follow the Torah, but they're very few. And these Kabbalists, these Luciferians who worship this snake in a tree, they're the ones who run Israel, guys. I mean, there's your newsflash. And so you got to understand what's going on. And then you have all these evangelicals going over there and basically acting like whatever they say to do, it needs to be done because it's God's will. Well, they see Jesus Christ as a demonic possessed sorcerer who died in a vat of sewage is what they say in their Kabbalah, and that the Virgin Mary was a whore. Does that mean we're supposed to support these guys and give them money? No! Not to me it doesn't. But remember, it was the Rothschilds through the Balfour Declaration, the Rothschilds, the satanic Rothschilds through the Balfour Declaration who brought back the country of Israel. And we have to understand that. And we have to know who these guys are and what they believe. They don't follow the Torah, the five first books of Levitical law. That wasn't okay with them. They wrote the Kabbalah. They wrote the Talmud. They wrote all of this stuff. They wrote the Zohar. It's like, I think it's 35 or 37 books to expound on what the Torah said so that you could understand it. And it's all secularized. They feel as though that the priests know more about the word and what we're supposed to live like than the great I am. They actually believe that. And it's crazy how we look at this and we think, well, we've got to let these guys do whatever they want to do. You know, the number one homosexual destination in the world. You think, wow, that's just, that sucks. Well, yeah, it does, actually. It really does. It's awful. And yet we support that and support that and support that. Guys, what a lie we were told. What a lie we were told. And now, and remember, you know, we had Samuel Untermeyer. He's a huge Zionist back in the early 1900s. He's the one who pushed for the reformation of Israel. He pushed and pushed and pushed. He's also the one who pushed the Versailles Treaty, to push the Versailles Treaty through. He's also the one that was critically involved in the forming of the, you know, on the CFR. He was the one who basically who declared war on Germany in 1933. He's the one who blackmailed Woodrow Wilson. He's the one who put Brandeis on the Supreme Court. All of this stuff was done to manipulate you into believing that you have to support Israel in order to be a good Christian. Well, if it's the number one homosexual destination in the world, why would you support it? If they don't believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, why would you support it? I mean, now we need to pray for the Jews. We need to pray that they all get saved. I have no problem with that. And we'd be nice to them. But, you know, endorsing this stuff that they endorse, it's not okay. Sending them money for the rebuilding of a third temple. Let me ask you a question. Why do you need a third temple? For pagan sacrifices, for basically, you know, to basically for the blood of bulls and goats. You've got Jesus Christ. His blood was shed for you. as an eternal sacrifice for the remission of sins. Why would you possibly support a third temple fund?
Well, the third temple says in the book of Thessalonians that the Antichrist is going to walk out and declare himself God. This is what they're trying to bring in. And you Christians, just give money. Put themselves under Judaism and all the different rituals and all the different laws. No, we were set free from all of that stuff. Because God Almighty had a son named Jesus Christ and basically came to redeem us from the curse of the law. We no longer have to have the blood of bulls and goats and sheep for forgiveness of sins. Jesus Christ is a sacrifice for us once and for all, in the order of Melchizedek, it says in the Bible. He basically has died for us and is omnipresent and is continually shedding blood for us forever and amen, so there no longer needs to be a sacrifice for sin. I don't understand the whole thing with the shedding of the blood. I don't get all that. I still don't. But somehow in the heavenly realms, the energy field that's created from all of that has allowed us to come to God Almighty himself, to walk boldly into the throne room and bring our petitions to the great I Am through Jesus Christ. They don't like that. They don't like any of that, because this war in the heavenlies has been going on for eons of time. And we just happen to find ourselves here on this great stage of this thing, quite frankly, in the end times, watching this stuff unfold. Watching this stuff unfold all around us with 5G. Watching it unfold all around us with vaccines injecting who know what into you. I promise you, it may not be this year, it may not be next year, but they're going to make these vaccinations mandatory. Oh yeah, it's going to go house to house. And you got to decide before that happens what you and you're going to do with you and your family. If you're going to capitulate, what are these vaccines going to do to you? How are they going to change your DNA? Now, I've pontificated long enough. Austin, go ahead, bud. What's your next story?
Well, something that I wanted to bring up, just from a number standpoint, as most people know, I'm real big at numbers. I look at numbers a lot. I run numbers all day. And I was looking at this infrastructure bill, this $1 trillion that Trump's wanting to add. And, of course, they say it's to rebuild highways and roadways and all this stuff. Oh, and by the way, there's a bunch of 5G labeled in there. But just to understand the aspect of what $1 trillion does, the entire United States interstate highway system is a little over 48,000 miles long. It's 48,191 miles. That's what it currently is. Now, that's the main interstate highways. Now, of course, you have rural back roads and county roads and city roads and so forth. But I'm talking about actual interstate roads, 48,000 miles of interstate roads all across the country. That's a lot of roadway. Now, on average, it costs around $1.2 to $1.5 million per mile to resurface those roadways on average. Some of them go up a little bit, obviously, if you go some wide lanes in Atlanta, obviously some of them go down, but this is what you're looking at, $1.25 million, $1.5 million. Now, what's interesting about that is, so if you went to resurface the entire highway system with $1 trillion, I'm talking the entire country, 48,000 miles of interstate highway with $1 trillion, you could resurface the entire United States 48,000 mile highway system almost 17 times. You could resurface the entire country's highway systems with $1 trillion. Now, we're not even getting it to other funds that are put forward to roadways. Remember, there's already gas tax, tire tax, roadway tax, toll tax, all these tolls and all this stuff they put on taxes all the time, all these different taxes they put on vehicles, trucks, everything. All those taxes are supposed to go to infrastructure, roadway, and they generate hundreds of billions of dollars to repave and resurface this stuff. So we're not even talking about taking in those funds. We're talking about $1 trillion. So obviously the $1 trillion that they're talking about in the infrastructure run here, it's not by any means to resurface the entire United States infrastructure. Because, I mean, if that was really the case on here, you'd be looking at much, much, much less money that they would actually need to do something on that level of magnitude. You'd actually be looking at somewhere around $60 to $100 billion. So obviously there's money here that's going all these different ways, and that exactly called it out. The 5G system, I read you guys a letter from a customer the other day. I get letters like that every single week from customers all over the country that are talking about 5G towers going up. Some of them look like trees. They got fake limbs on them. Some of them are out in the middle of rural everywhere. And what's ironic is it even says here on the article that I just pulled up from MSN, it says the Trump administration preparing a $1 trillion infrastructure proposal. The proposal will be infrastructure work like roads and bridges, but will also set aside a large portion of funds for 5G infrastructure and rural broadband. President Donald Trump is scheduled to discuss rural broadband access at a White House event on Thursday. Now, why in the world do we right now, I mean, you gotta think about it. Everything in the United States is going on right now. We got these blithering idiots rioting that want to be racist, that want to hate cops, that want to basically hate the entire country for which it stands, one nation under God, under Jesus. They want to hate that because they want to bring in a communist country. We have this alleged COVID issue that's going on right now with hundreds of thousands of people being out of work, with businesses shutting down, millions of people going on unemployment. All that's going on right now. So is it really, really, really the prudent time right now that we prioritize 5G broadband to make sure that everybody has unbelievably fast internet? Really? Is that really what it's about? Because I had someone argue about the other day. They're like, listen, you know, everybody needs to have access to internet so they can get a hold, you know, of what's going on in the world. And I'm like, I don't have a bit of problem people having internet. I don't have a bit of problem at all. There's no issue with that. But is that something we need to prioritize right now? And we just did a $2.2 trillion stimulus package that almost all went to the banks, or the other $500 billion stimulus package for the payroll protection loans that went to almost all the big companies, or the other $4 trillion that the Fed is pumping into the stock market right now. They said they're going to pump another $1 trillion into it right now. Is it really the time to pick up and make sure 5G towers are going up at the most rapid pace we've ever seen them in the history? And the answer is no, absolutely not. The reason why is exactly what Dad said. They're trying to bring all this stuff into one place. And now we have, I saw this article on The Blaze earlier, now we have the United Nations Council has now said that they're holding a urgent debate on allegations of systemic racism and police brutality in the United States. The UN's top human rights body is now going to be holding a debate followed by a request. And basically a lot of stuff that's happened because of allegedly George Floyd's death. They're saying now in the letter to the UN that Floyd's death is not an isolated incident, and there's previous cases of unarmed persons of African descent suffering the same fate due to unchecked police brutality. So now we have the United Nations getting together to debate on the current incidences that are happening in the United States. Now, Dad and I have called this for months. Remember, I told you guys when Obama signed this, what, 6-7 years ago, they basically said if significant human rights violations occur in the United States, the United Nations has the right to come in and quell the civil disturbance that's going on and bring order. They blatantly said that. He signed a treaty with them. That was like, so I think, 6 years ago, not 7 years ago. It was right at the end of his second term. So why is the UN concerned about what we're doing? Quite frankly, when police brutality may be systemic in some areas, quite frankly, but also brutality on everybody is systemic throughout the entire country. There's a video that popped up yesterday, and Instagram's tried to take it down. Numerous pages have tried to take it down, which is ironic to me because it wasn't even as graphic as George Floyd being basically, you know, choked to death. And its photo looks like it's in an inner city project area, and there's young girl, probably late teenager, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 years old, somewhere like that, and she's running away from a large black male. Video's online. You can pull it up online. Free Thought Project posted it. I think Uncle Sam's Misguided Children posted it. A bunch of pages have posted it. It went viral. And she's running away from him in the middle of this field, in the middle of the projects, and she falls. And as she's trying to get up, he runs over to her, and he sucker punches her in the face, completely knocks her unconscious. And as she's trying to crawl away from this guy, trying to crawl away and puts her hands up, he stands over top of her and starts beating her in the face while somebody's recording it. And, of course, nobody did anything in the current time. And it happened. Now, of course, CNN hasn't posted it. NBC hasn't posted it. Fox hasn't posted it. Nobody's posted a single video of it. Why? Because it doesn't fit the narrative. Because apparently the only people that can have anything done to them, according to CNN, are black individuals, which is far from the truth. And it's not that black on white or white on black or Hispanic on black or white on Hispanic or whatever you want to say doesn't happen. It's that it all happens. That's the problem. So trying to single out one significant portion of people and say they're to blame for everything is a complete and total lie, and it goes along with a communist ideology. And the sad part is, the paid Antifa rioting communist groups are working as far as what's happened. We've now seen that 18 Atlanta cops now have quit. LAPD now says they can't pay over $40 million in overtime as police morale hits rock bottom. They're now saying that the exodus of law enforcement all over the country is happening in a rapid pace. Entire Florida SWAT department has now resigned in Hollandale City, basically Hollandale Beach, which is down towards Miami. Very violent area over there by Florida City. Very violent area down there. It's actually like number one crime capital of Florida, Florida City. And because the police department chief kneeled to protesters, whole SWAT team resigned. Entire SWAT team resigned. Now, a lot of people don't understand is SWAT teams aren't just formed in a day. SWAT teams take months, sometimes years, to basically group together. I got off the phone last night with my good buddy who's basically on Polk County SWAT. He said last week alone he had 42 hours of overtime. Last week, 42 hours of overtime. We're at over 80 hours last week, getting call-outs every single day right now because Sheriff Grady Judd said, we're not doing it. We're not going to put up with this nonsense. And for the most part, they have quelled a lot of the rioting as far as there really hasn't been any. There's zero tolerance. But he said the entire force is exhausted. The entire SWAT team's exhausted. Nobody get anything done personally. They're getting called out every single day. Now, they're getting paid overtime, but I mean, golly, I mean, quality of life is going to crap. Morale's going to crap. He said he's already had numerous sheriffs that have walked off the job now, just quit. We're done. Walking out, we don't get paid enough for this. This is a nightmare. This is exactly what Antifa's goal was to do. Because if they can make as many police step down and as police departments as small as possible, they will not be able to do the job that they need to do when these people start rioting. And of course, then you will have the great and one only all New World Order leader, the United Nations, the one, the satanic basis of the United Nations, come in to step in to stop the human rights violation. And that's exactly what they are trying to do. So understand, when we see these things going on right now, and now we're talking about governments in other countries talking about wearable devices to basically have a smartwatch or monitor so basically people can check to see how the COVID-19 social distancing is going on with GPS receivers. That's happened in numerous countries now. Now, Dad said earlier with the phones. But yet, you see in New York that basically de Blasio or whatever has now said that anybody that contracts COVID-19, that you are not allowed to ask them if they have gone to a Black Lives Matter protest or rally. You're not allowed to ask them. It's irrelevant. You cannot ask them if they've gone to a rally recently, if they test positive for COVID-19. Why is that? Why? Because they have to keep the narrative going. They don't want all of a sudden the numbers come out and say, wow, 80% of the individuals that have now come forward with COVID-19 symptoms have basically been involved in rallies and protests in the last 2 weeks. Oh, that would spin the narrative on its head, wouldn't it? And of course, they don't want people to stop talking about this. Even we're bringing it up right now. Why? Because that's what they want to keep the agenda going. And of course,
well, I'm not sure what happened to Austin, but he kind of just disappeared there real quick, so I have to assume that I'm still on. It looks like I still got a signal, and I'll have Austin come back in just a minute. He was disconnected. I guess he was getting pretty doggone good there, and it decided to shut him down very quick. Let's take a look at this inversion agenda that we're dealing with right now, because remember, this is what Sabatini Zevi wanted to do. He wanted to invert everything. Now we have people saying that heterosexual sex is rape. Wait a minute. You may remember the all sex is rape canard from this feminist Andrea Dworkin, who claimed that the heterosexual intercourse is violent, that was merely a test launch for the real deal. Well, how do you have reproduction without the real deal? Many years later, another elite figure, supposedly elite, I don't call her elite, Ezra Klein, stated that men should feel a cold spike of fear before initiating any sexual relationship. And that goal is close to being achieved right now. Nuclear families are fascism. They want to make you believe that if you believe the husband and wife are a team
and they work together to raise their children, and they believe in Jesus Christ, and they want to maintain a tight family unit. That's fascism. They want to believe that. They want to make you think that that's real. You know, they want to portray the family unit as if Hitler invented it. The first stage of this inversion is to glorify single motherhood and convince women that they are brave and strong for taking a, you know, a load of semen from a man who doesn't love them or want to commit to them. This new single mom identity is the force that can align itself against married and traditional norms. And of course, we have the welfare systems, which have pushed that over and over now for the past 60 years. For the elite will only allow the creation of an identity if it can be used as an offensive weapon. Note how they do not allow the organic formation of a genuinely masculine identity group. They don't do this. Now, this is an article I'm reading to you from the Inversion Agenda, and I've got it posted on our website, so you guys can go back and read the entire article, because I think we've lost Austin here. Now, next thing is, merit is privilege. Privilege? So, if you have an IQ score of over 100, you possess a work ethic, and can use mental discipline to further your lot in life, you had an advantaged upbringing at the expense of other disadvantaged groups, or you belong to a race that has historically colonized others. In other words, you're probably a white person. There you go. Your achievements, careful planning, and hard work are actually indicators that you're keeping others down and robbing them of success. So if you plan on studying while you're in school, you plan on trying to do well on your college classes, you plan on maintaining a good GPA, instead of going out and getting drunk every weekend and screwing 25 people, you actually stay celibate while you're in college or have a girlfriend or a boyfriend that you're having a long-term relationship that you want to marry, you're basically keeping other people down and you're robbing them of their success. You start realizing this stuff is happening at the university level. And then they want to tell you that pedophilia is natural, that it's something that's good, that you can have sex with little children. That's all right. This is the hardest inversion to accept. This can be normalized as pedophilia into a standard sexual orientation that is seen as healthy. Now remember, the Kabbalah says you have sex with little girls and little boys. I mean, you can sodomize little boys and you have sex with little girls at the age of like 3. It's okay. Again, it's complete inversion of what's right. We're seeing this media's glorification of little children who decide to change their sex because they're being inverted. Great efforts will be made to teach children that their virtue-signaling parents, like telling them not to go out and be skanks, or to trust those who are most dangerous to children, homosexuals and transsexuals, not to trust them. In effect, grooming will be institutionalized on a national scale. Guys, protect your children from this, especially your girls, because there are guys out there who try to get them to put personal information about themselves on the internet, to groom them. They want to be their... how should you say, they're sugar daddies. And they'll say, well, you don't have to have sex with me. I'm going to give you $3,000 a month for your college expenses, and all you have to do is basically talk to me. And they'll give them a house, place to live, money every month, and suddenly you're going to go, well, I've got a friend of mine who basically wants to meet you. He really, really thinks that you're absolutely wonderful. And he wants to go in and, at this point, support you and give you more. But what he wants to do is he wants to leave there happy. So you're going to have to make him happy. And you think, what the heck does that even mean? And what we're doing is that they get you. Okay.
I don't know what's going on with T-Mobile yesterday and this whole system today.
So it's always
funny
it
to me.
Yeah.
When everybody starts speaking the truth and people start bringing up what's really going on, it's funny to me how internet and phone services start getting killed like yesterday and today and stuff. I just had to reset the whole system here. But I just want to interject into that, Dad, because it's ironic when you deal with the Bundy standoff in 2014 over land disputes with the BLM, how there's multiple federal indictments and people are arrested and felony charges, but yet people can take over Seattle and it's business as usual. That was my whole point I was making until I was rudely interrupted to whoever cut my line earlier.
Well, you're right. And, here's the thing. They're inverting everything. This is the Sabatini-Zeevi stuff. And I'm covering these topics right now. Beauty is ugly. Beauty norms are changing, and we couldn't be more on board with it. I mean, people love it. I mean, you have these people that are hideous, and they're on the covers of magazines now, and they're supposed to be beautiful. It's inversion. is to take everything that God created and flip it. Feminine is now masculine. In other words, you have to have girls act like dykes. They want to run around and get on steroids and get 18-inch arms and talk like a guy, walk like a guy, act like a guy. And everything's being changed. It's inversion. You know, white is not right. Every time a white person says something, okay, they have white privilege. So basically, you basically are a racist because you're white. And then they want you to believe that science is God. Well, no, they don't. This is the Sabbatian Kabbalist inversion of everything. They don't want you to have the right to choose yourself what you want. They're trying to manipulate you through groupthink. This is all what Freud taught. This is all Bernays. All of this stuff is to take the agenda and invert it. It's called the inversion agenda. Guys, I love you. As long as I can, as long as I'm physically able to, I'm going to tell you the truth. Am I perfect? Absolutely not. But I'm going to tell you everything that I see and what's going on. And I'm not going to compromise. If I had to compromise this show, I would stop doing it. I want to thank you for your support of Health Masters. If you didn't get your multiple vitamins from us and your toothpaste, and I say that because of the fluoride and regular toothpaste, we couldn't do this show. And it means the world to me that you guys support us. I love you guys. I really do. I had the opportunity to pray for you and the privilege to pray for you again today. And I pray that in all ways we can bring honor and glory to God and to Jesus Christ our Lord. I love you guys. Austin, finish it up. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Absolutely. I mean, the thing that everybody has to continue to do is keep speaking the truth, voice your opinion, stand your ground, and stay prepared. Because I promise you, as I said already multiple times, this is not going to stop right now, guys. This is a multi-tiered approach. They can't bring down the United States with one singular incident. It can never happen. We're too resilient. We're too strong. This is America. And they know that. And I promise you, there's going to be something else that occurs next, too. They're going to have some type of false flag mass shooting again in the very near future. I've talked to numerous people that I know, and I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not trying to predict anything, but I'm telling you, that's the next play. You can look at their playbook. They've used it over and over again. They don't even change it. It's the same thing over and over again. Be prepared. Stay ready. Stay armed. If you can legally do so, I'll highly suggest everybody stays armed and stays ready for any occurrence that may happen. I appreciate you guys. Be sure to check out the website, healthmasters.com. Have the food buckets on there right now, free shipping. Also have multiple products on sale right now, including the vitamin C capsules, last day of product of the week. And be sure to vote for what you want to see win tomorrow. Healthmasters.com, 1-800-726-1834. Thank you for your support. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.
On Facebook, on the news, and